Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 2-Point Conversion Podcast. Before we begin, we'd like to take a moment of silence. Gladys, I'll allow you to lead off.
We are going to have intermittent silence, moments of silence, to commemorate the death of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I would like everyone to join in the quietness, the solemnness, and the sadness that this moment brings. Thank you all for your understanding.
Right. Now, if that isn't a way to come out of a holiday weekend, I don't know what it is.
I mean, yeah, now it's Black Monday, so.
Thank you.
Dark and depressing. Well, I guess it'd be Black and Gold Monday for you. Other than Steelers loss, how are you doing, Gladys? Did you enjoy the rest of the Thanksgiving weekend other than that moment on Sunday?
No, I did not. I worked the Thanksgiving weekend and people sucked. The Dallas fans were disgustingly rude.
As they tend to do.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are all right, but yeah, most people. This all right group of people. So we got Gladys, we've got Dr. James Ferretti. How you doing, Doc?
I'm doing well. I had a very quiet and relaxing holiday season, Thanksgiving. So that was nice. I didn't cook. Nobody had to cook. We went out and got food prepared, brought it home. It was like, it was very relaxing. And when my fiance and I sat down to have dinner, we were both still pretty tired, and we were like, could you imagine if we had to cook for just the two of us, like how much more tired we would be? So instead, we just relaxed and enjoyed. It was really nice.
This is the first time we're hearing of this. Is your fiance a doctor too?
She isn't. She was smart enough not to go into the medical field. So that makes at least one smart person out of the two of us.
What does she do?
She works for an insurance company.
Nice.
Yeah, medical insurance. As a matter of fact, well, during one of our moments of silence, I have a surprise for the viewers, so I'll bring that on later. A little foreshadowing. But the Raiders won for a change, so that was nice. And I made a bet with my friend who's a Dallas fan, so he owes me a 12-pack of beer. And that was a good start to the holiday weekend.
A lot to be thankful for there, Doc.
There you go.
Thankful for the full house, all four of us here, including producer, show sheet creator extraordinaire, the B-League says. How you doing, Dan?
I couldn't be in a better mood if I tried.
Yeah, Giants won. Yeah, that's true.
Who did they beat?
The Eagles.
Philadelphia. Feel a fraudulent.
Yeah. Let's crowdsource this, Doc. Gladys, what do you prefer, fraudula or fraudadelphia? I know Dan's. I think Dan, you say fraudula, but I actually prefer fraudadelphia. Yeah. So
fraudadelphia.
Whatever, they're frauds. Oh no, they're gonna go undefeated the rest of the run in because they've got such a weak schedule. You can't beat the Giants.
Fantasy barbecue is in the house.
Oh my god, receivers that can't catch a ball, quarterbacks that can't throw them. Useless.
Wow,
useless. Get back, go trade some more picks for some bad receivers. You know, the best line of last night's game was, oh my god, what a block by JJ Arcega-Whiteside. That was the moment of their game, a block by that guy. Useless.
All right. Thank you, Eric, for participating in the moment of silence for Ben Roethlisberger's career, which I think might be over soon, but we'll see. Effectively, his fantasy usefulness career has been over probably for a while. There's a few players, unfortunately, whose fantasy seasons and NFL seasons are over, unfortunately. So, as always, we're going to talk injuries, and we'll preview the Monday night game eventually. But yes, this solemn moment to talk about injuries. But I guess start with some good news on players who are active today. It looks like Logan Thomas will be active, and he is taking the place of Ricky Seals-Jones. Inactive, so starting tight end for Washington returns to replace the Washington. Also, Samuel active. Yeah. I know Dan's really happy about that.
Let's go. Go to Samuel. Giddy up. Just don't step laterally.
maybe you can avoid doing that in football.
Just straight line wind runs. That's it, Curtis. No lateral movement. Don't test those adductors out. Just straight.
Oh, man. That's
right? Just straight. That's it. No stop, start, no cutbacks, just that's it. Nothing else.
As for, I guess, the news with the Seattle, tons of news this week. I mean, I think every running back they had was like questionable at some point. Looks like Alex Collins, DJ Dallas are the two that are active tonight. Travis Homer's inactive with an injury. Rashad Penny's been put on the injured reserve. And as we've been saying for weeks, Chris Carson's season has been done for a while. Just finally, yeah. The Seahawks finally figured it out and realized it and admitted it. Doc, I know you said at the moment, like Carson's neck injury happened, that, you know, prepare for this to be season ending we'll confirm that officially. So Alex Collins, DJ Dallas tonight. Is there any preference between the two? If you, let's say, has both and available to start, do you think there's a better option between them?
Man,
I would play DJ Dallas, but not, you know, happily.
Why? Sorry, I have a question. So why DJ Dallas, considering that Alex Collins has been the starter for the past like month? Is it because he's been starting and he hasn't done much, and you're
like unproductive,
anticipating a changing of the guard?
Yeah, I think DJ Dallas is more productive than Alex Collins. I mean, Alex Collins has been starting, but DJ Dallas is giving me more points.
Yeah, it's not unreasonable. I'm very interested to see how this plays out, to be honest with you. I really don't have a good feel for it. And you know how much it's almost like I was hoping that Pete Carroll was going to say that one of them would get the majority of the carries, and then I would have favored going with the other guy. But that didn't happen.
I've got one here. So I need 11 points to win a league. It's the Canada Cup. I'm so far out of it, it doesn't matter. But I want to not be last. Alex Collins or Freddie Swaim? Like, do you think Alex Collins could get 11 points, or do you think that's more attainable with a receiver getting a long bomb like Swaim?
Is it PPR?
I'll have to check that. Yeah, I believe so. I believe it's might be either half or full. I'll check and double check and get back to you.
Okay. Then I'll get back with you with the answer.
Okay, and I guess in the meantime, Doc, some other injuries. So I guess some stuff to look forward to the next primetime game, not so much tonight, but for Thursday. So Amari Cooper, so Cowboys COVID, some big news. It seems like Amari Cooper should come off the COVID list, but it seems like others, including head coach Mike McCarthy, have been put on the COVID list. So what do we know about that right now, COVID-wise, for the Cowboys, Doc?
I have a question. Is there a difference between COVID list and virus list? Is it the same thing? They're just
trunking. I didn't know there was a virus list.
I've never heard that term before either.
Like three different teams and had three different players on a virus list.
Where did you see that?
ESPN.
Oh, ESPN. Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to get your information from a reputable news media source. I mean, if you're choosing these random channels on the internet, then how are we supposed to trust? No, I'm kidding. I've never.
That's why you come here to go in for two, to be honest.
Yeah, I've never heard of a virus list.
Okay. I didn't know if it was the same or they're talking about something different. I didn't know. Okay.
Who did they say were the players? You remember?
No, I don't. Okay. There was like four different teams had players on the virus list, and they were I don't. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, it's cool. I haven't heard that, but that doesn't mean that it's not a thing, because this Cowboys COVID thing is kind of still developing. So Coach McCarthy tested positive, so he's out. And apparently there were other positive tests that they haven't released yet. Eight was the last count. And apparently they were still testing and was kind of waiting for more information to come out on that. It hasn't happened yet, but definitely a yellow alert there in Dallas to see what's going on there.
But by the way, it's a full point PPR league for Alex Collins or Freddie Swaim.
Oh, I'm still going Alex Collins. I don't know. I don't think you're going to get 11 points from either. But
I looked at they've each only eclipsed the double digit points twice. So the odds aren't great, to be honest.
I don't know if this is useful or not, but Alex Collins he's like the third least hurt of the running back. So he's been dealing with like a nagging injury as well. So DJ Dallas is actually the freshest. So there is a possibility that they could do a 50-50 thing, or if the game gets out of hand one way or the other, they could just take Alex Collins completely out of it. So he does probably have more touchdown upside or short yardage upside, but otherwise DJ Dallas is kind of the more complete back. I don't know. I don't know if that's helpful or not, but that's something.
Problem is Freddie Swaim also hasn't caught a pass since week seven. So
that is gonna be a problem, most weeks. Yeah.
Well, again, luckily this team is really going nowhere, so it doesn't matter. We've spent too much time on that already anyway. There's more injuries to deal with because the thing with the Cowboys is it's not just COVID they're dealing with, right? So last week, both of their, I guess, their top wide receiver, top running back, deal with injury. So actually CeeDee Lamb didn't even play last week with the concussion.
Yeah.
That, I guess, we just have to see how he progresses through the protocol, Doc. Probably nothing more there. It's really, I guess, Ezekiel Elliott that way, I guess, that becomes interesting.
He did clear the protocol today, so there is some news there with him. So he cleared the protocol. He looks like he's on track for CeeDee Lamb, I mean. He looks like he's on track for week 13. Amari Cooper missed with COVID 2 weeks because he had a 10-day waiting period, isolation period. So he missed week 12 on Thursday Night Football on Thanksgiving. Barring some unforeseen issue, it looks like he's going to be on track for week 13. He might be one of the safest players because he actually tested positive before the latest outbreak. So he's kind of already, you know, going through it. Mm-hmm. So as long as he continues to be able to practice, Amari Cooper should be okay. Cedric Wilson, who was one of the fill-ins for the two guys that we just mentioned, actually missed practice today with an ankle injury. Don't know if that's just kind of a rest day or if there's actually something there. But he actually showed that he could do some stuff when given the opportunity. And Michael Gallup looks like he's, you know, made it through unscathed and had a pretty decent game on Thanksgiving. And yeah, that brings us to Ezekiel Elliott, which is, you know, definitely a developing thing, provided he dodges the COVID bullet. He has a knee issue to deal with. And so I want to get your guys' opinion on this because we talked about it last week, how he's kind of battling through this bone bruise. And that they may opt to rest. The Cowboys may opt to rest him more down the stretch. And then sure enough, after the Thanksgiving game where he looked like he was kind of limited again, even though he scored a touchdown, the grumblings about that got louder and it looked like they may actually trend in that direction. And then Ezekiel Elliott came out and said, that's not happening. I'm not resting this. I feel better than I did. It's fine. Who do you believe in this situation? Like, do you take the team's word for it, or do you take Zeke's word for it? Yeah, I leave it to you guys.
I kind of believe Zeke on this one. Listen, they've had a congested three games, right? They went from Sunday, Thursday, and now Thursday again.
Yeah.
If they've been holding him back, I wouldn't be absolutely surprised to see that because of that congestion in such a small period of time. It comes part and parcel of being the Cowboys this year. They're on more primetime games. They've had that extra game. It doesn't affect him. He didn't play in the first was at the Hall of Fame game, and they've had the Hard Knocks. The part and parcel of being a Cowboys player is that prime time status with it, whether it's Thursdays, Mondays, Sundays. He's played extra games in a small amount of time. They're going to have the best part of it. It's going to feel like a bye week to them in between that Thursday to following Sunday.
Yeah, right.
I'd be surprised if they don't manage him this week and then it's wheels up after that. I could see them, you know, and the Saints have got a pretty decent run defense. So I could see them mixing Pollard in this week, but after that, I'd feel like, you know, unless that division is in trouble, and obviously the Giants did them a favor this week, and Seattle could really do them a favor tonight. If that division is in trouble, then I can't see them holding him back. Maybe the last week or two, that could be a thing, but until then, I don't see them really. I don't think they'd have to ease up until then. Again, they're gonna it's gonna feel like a bye week for them after Thursday night.
Okay, I like it.
So speaking of Thursday, the Saints players as well dealing with some injuries. You look at that running back room. Really, everyone's dealing with knee injuries, but both Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram dealing with knee injuries. So I believe he has missed three games already, if I'm not mistaken. Ingram missing last week for his first game missed with this injury. But Doc, do we know anything about either running back?
With Alvin Kamara, so he had an MCL injury and he missed weeks. You're right. He missed weeks 10, 11, and 12. Looks like he did get a limited practice in today. So he has a real shot to play in week 13. It's just kind of been the same story, unfortunately, of just kind of watch practice reports. And in the past weeks, he's kind of been trending down and looking like he's not going to play. And then ultimately he didn't play. The thing with Mark Ingram is kind of the same thing. Just kind of watching and seeing. It was definitely a mixed bag as far as running backs with Tony Jones and others. It kind of didn't play out the way that a lot of people thought it might as far as running backs. And then to throw a little more confusion onto things, Taysom Hill looks like he's going to, if he can make it through practice and everything looks okay, he's going to start. And what does that do for short yardage and other things, even if Kamara does play or Ingram does play? What do you guys think about that? It's a lot of variables at play there.
It's our favorite B-League's Gotham City co-host, Izzy, saying holla, everyone.
Izzy, what's up? Happy Thanksgiving, buddy. Good to see you.
What's up?
Yeah, Izzy, glad to have you here for this exciting Washington-Seattle game. I mean, oh, man, barn burner here. you're all here for the injury analysis.
I'm going to need some white runs to get me through tonight's game. I can tell you that much.
Going to need some what?
Never mind. Don't worry. It's an in-joke for me. Is it yours? Don't worry.
Did you say white Russians?
White runts.
Oh, never mind.
Happy Thanksgiving, all. A little late on that, Izzy, but I guess you know what? This is still week 12 of the NFL season, which is where Thanksgiving is. So it's like Thanksgiving week. I mean, to be fair, you Americans are weird. Canada Thanksgiving is on Monday. So like we actually, it's like an actual long weekend, not just like right in the middle of the week, but yeah. And Izzy says Washington the over. We'll get to the game preview.
We'll get there, Izzy. I'm going to need your help for that later on. Don't disappear on me.
So
I'm thankful for everyone for staying.
It's the COVID. I just read it. TJ Watt was one of the people that had it. It's guys that are vaccinated and have tested positive.
Okay.
They're calling it virus instead of COVID because they're vaccinated and have a chance to come back.
Okay.
Also, they've only got a little bit of COVID.
thank you for researching that and clarifying that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I don't know. I guess that's good. You can kind of differentiate between the two
vaccinated
of them.
And unvaccinated players.
Yeah, right. At least no, because if you're unvaccinated, it's 10 days mandatory.
Right. Doesn't really matter with the Steelers. Doesn't really matter, TJ Watt.
Yeah. All right.
Another moment of silence.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Doc, I do have a question, though, about Taysom Hill.
Yes.
So you mentioned the concern, like, okay, Kamara, there's been a noticeable lack of receptions, you know, compared to what he got with Breeze, certainly, whenever Taysom Hill's been the starting quarterback. Now, it seems like Hill's dealing with somewhat of a foot injury. If Hill is less able to run, does that mean, like, we're maybe less worried about lack of receptions? Okay, if Hill's not running as much as he dumped off for, so... Kamara likely being the healthier of the two, would that be something that, like, maybe we'd rank Kamara higher than you normally would with Taysom Hill just because of Hill's injury, or are you or am I just saying this whole rambling for nothing and there's no effect at all?
No, I mean, it's a good thought. I kind of contemplated that, and the thing is, it all boils down for me is that if Alvin Kamara is starting, like, I'm starting him. Like, it doesn't matter who's quarterback. It doesn't matter, like, anything else. Like, I'm going to put him out there, and my presumption is he's going to find a way to get the points, whether it's he scores touchdowns, whether he runs the ball, whether he gets receptions. It all kind of comes out in the wash, and you get there one way or the other. It may not be the way you expect, but usually you get there. I don't know. I don't know what the actual effect is going to be, but my presumption is that he'll find a way to get some points and be productive, more productive than most other options you're going to have unless your team is, like, truly stacked.
Okay, so one more thing. A player that's actually been kind of getting some targets this, I guess, more recently with Trevor Siemian, Adam Trautman, a tight end, the second-year tight end for the Saints. Seems like an MCL injury, if I'm not mistaken. It's like he's obviously going to be out for what looks like probably the majority of the fantasy playoffs.
I think he's got a partial tear of the MCL, which is going to come up for some. I think somebody else had a partial tear of the MCL. This week. So that's like a 4 to 6 week injury. So I think he's probably out for the rest of the fantasy season, if not very close to it. Maybe it's something where he could conceivably come back for like a championship game type situation, but then again, maybe not. It would kind of depend on what New Orleans is looking like at that point. And who knows? Like, who knows who's going to be the quarterback? Like, who knows about all the other stuff that's going on? So, I mean, a partial tear of the MCL is really bad. Like, that's something that can get worse. if it's not allowed to heal and could require surgery, and could be, you know, that would be that.
With the severity, it sounds like you're giving to this diagnosis, Doc. Again, if everything we know about it is correct, then it is a partial tear of the MCL. It sounds like, let's say he makes the timeline and comes back for a game in the fantasy playoffs. It sounds like you wouldn't trust him anyway, like to be healthy, especially get questions at quarterback. Like you would still try rather find a healthier tight end that rather than one coming back from an injury first game back.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's a low bar, and with tight end and with him, you know, with Troutman, I didn't really trust him that much to begin with. So if it was somebody else, then it might be a different story. But, you know, even Troutman, when he was fully healthy, I felt like he was, you know, kind of, I'm sure he's a wonderful human being, but I felt like he was kind of untrustworthy for fantasy purposes. And then to add that additional risk onto the pile, you know, I think you're better served finding better options if you can. Obviously, if you can't, then when it gets down to the fantasy championship, it really is a war of attrition. You got to get people out there that are going to score you some kind of points and just hope that you don't come up with empty pockets. I mean, week 16 and week 17 is when, you know, fantasy heroes are made. You know, the LeRon McClains of the world show up and rush for 100 plus yards and a touchdown or two touchdowns or whatever it was and win you a title. So
what about Dan Arnold? Do you trust him to come back?
I trust him. Actually, that might be a good time to transition to the rest of injuries. Sorry.
No, go ahead. Dan Arnold he got the same injury, but right. I think he's done for the year.
Oh, okay. So you don't think he's coming back for the playoffs?
I think he's done, honestly. Okay. And it's sad because he was doing really well.
Yeah.
Just one more player out that they're not gonna throw to LaVisca Chenault.
Yeah, right.
Well, the Jags did just activate someone off injured reserve, tight end James O'Shaughnessy. So I wonder if he, because I remember week one of the NFL season, Trevor Lawrence's first game, I think he got 8 targets, and then I believe he got hurt the very next week or was hurt in that game and hasn't played since. So I wonder if he comes in and commands some of those targets again with Dan Arnold back out. So I think James O'Shaughnessy might be worthy of a spot start if you need a streamer for next week.
Yeah. I think it's a good spec pickup. You know, stranger things have happened. People weren't really that high on Dan Arnold when he came over, and he blew up and became a tight end one. You know, Trevor Lawrence is still a rookie, and, you know the old adage about tight ends and rookie quarterbacks and the safety blanket and all that. So there might be some value to be had there.
Especially considering the injuries to Jamal Agnew, DJ Chark, those best friend wide receivers you would have had anyway, they're gone too. So,
yeah.
One more tight end to talk about, I guess. We might as well just cover this. Sorry, Doc. Bad news for the Raiders. We take a moment of silence for this here. Arguably the best player on the team, Darren Waller. So the IT band, which I know a lot of people like in my Dynasty group chats and stuff were joking. Like, is he a computer? Like, is he a robot that like has an IT problem? Right. So can you, like, this is one that maybe is worth explaining. Like, I don't think I saw that one in the fantasy suck. But your injury team doesn't have to.
I don't think I saw
the IT span in this book.
No, it's such a rare injury in football that it didn't even, it didn't even make it into the book. So it's actually IT stands for iliotibial band, which is why they abbreviated to the IT band because it's a lot easier to say. But it runs along the outside of the thigh, kind of from the hip to the outside of the knee. And it's just kind of like a long strip of, I guess it serves as like a ligament. So it connects those two bones, runs on the outside. And it's usually something that gets irritated with people that are runners, like long distance runners and people that do that sort of activity. Sometimes, you know, people that do the what are they called? Like the tough mutters and things like that. What were you going to say, Dan?
Marathons.
Yeah. So like long distance runners or people that do cross training. They get inflammation or irritation of the iliotibial band. They can get pain down there. In this type of situation, it's not really like that. It's more of like an acute traumatic injury. So it probably acts somewhat similar to an LCL injury, so a knee ligament injury. That's probably the way that I would treat it. So it's just, it's a little bit thicker and it's a little bit of a different location, but it's it's similar to the location where you would find the LCL, or the lateral collateral ligament complex of the knee. And basically what happened is his leg and his knee got bent in a weird direction, and it put strain on this area, and it kind of tore some of the fibers. And as a result, he's having pain, swelling, and inflammation there. And it's probably going to, you know, it's something that could cost him a week or two, or maybe longer. It's just kind of a wait and see thing because it's such a rare injury. And we've been doing this show for, geez, what, over a year, right? And we haven't run into, on this show or the Dynasty Gambit, we haven't run into iliotibial, we haven't said iliotibial band once.
You'll never say it again.
And we might not. It really is a bit of a wild card, but I would say for now, you just got to watch practice reports. But my presumption is that he's going to be out probably this week and maybe more. So Foster Moreau, the island of Foster Moreau, as it were, has played well as a stand-in, and he's worth a look too. You know, he's on that James O'Shaughnessy level, maybe even a little higher, because he has done it before and he's stepped in before.
He's really good.
And that's actually what I was going to compare it to, right? So we're talking, like, it looks like, you know, Troutman, Dan Arnold, better guesses that they'll miss the season, like more of a chance of that than, say, Waller, right? So,
For sure.
Like, let's take those tight ends replacements, Juwan Johnson, James O'Shaughnessy, probably have longer track to be startable. But do you prefer maybe their starting level for the rest of the season, or what Foster Moreau did, maybe only over a couple of weeks, I guess, what is the preference there? Do you prefer the O'Shaughnessy Johnson as a long-term starter, or the, I guess, would be Foster Moreau as the shorter term? Yeah, so I guess it's pick the preference there. So, Dan, do you want to start? Like, what is your preference of those three replacement tight ends?
Moreau. Okay. This is Moreau every time he's – even going back to when he was a rookie, when he had good old Jason Witten standing in his way – Moreau was a guy that, in the red zone, he does really, really well. He's been limited relatively this year, obviously, because Waller this year and last year. But I'm just going over, like, his situational receiving. Just bear with me. But I'm going to get back to you guys on that, because if I remember correctly, I feel like he had something stupid. He was, like, 5 for 5 or something ridiculous last year. Like, 5 targets, 5 touch. I just got to double-check on that. Bear with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, no worries. Gladys.
Hi.
So with those three tight ends, Juwan Johnson for the Saints, James O'Shaughnessy for the Jags, maybe getting, you know, starting tight ends for the rest of the season, or Foster Moreau, maybe only 2 weeks of starting, what would you prefer to pick up right now?
I would go with one who has the best quarterback, so that would be Foster Moreau.
Taysom Hill, Trevor Lawrence, or Derek Carr? Gee, I wonder who.
Yeah.
So there you go, Doc. Derek Carr is the answer. You got it.
Yeah, there you go.
Finally, Derek Carr is the answer. That's not usually, but he is now.
He is to this question. I honestly would take Foster Moreau as well, but for a different reason. And the reason is, you guys know me, and you know, like, talking about trying to project things more than a couple of weeks ahead, I think that's too long. So, like, if you give me a guy that I know is going to be able to fill in for a week or two, I'll take that, and then we'll see what happens 2 weeks from now. Somebody else could get hurt. Something else could happen. Waller's hurt worse than they thought, and he's going to be out even longer. Like, give me the production for the next week or two, and then I'll take it as it comes. And that's just basically the way that I advocate playing fantasy football, because if you start projecting out, you know, maybe 2 weeks is a little bit limited in your scope, but the further out you get from that, from just a couple of weeks ahead, the further you introduce variables that you can't predict. Injuries, coaching changes, COVID, it's, you know, legal issue, whatever, like something crazy could happen, and then all your plans kind of go up in smoke. So to avoid that, try to mitigate the risk where you can. And one way to do that is to just focus on just a couple of now, this week and next week, or maybe the week after that at most. And then you deal with it as it comes. Every week, you're just reevaluating the landscape. You're tuning in to the 2-point conversion and you're reevaluating the injury landscape, and you take it from there.
All right. Great stuff. Yeah, I think we're all in agreement that Moreau would be the answer there. Because I think at that point, like, you're streaming anyway. Who's going to give me the most points this week? It might not even be – maybe you're not even looking 2 weeks ahead. You're just looking at 1 week. Moreau probably outperforms O'Shaughnessy and Juwan Johnson. So just go with it for the 1 week, and then, you know, play week to week and see. So, yeah, I think we're all saying Moreau there.
Another thing to keep in mind is, it's do or die for a lot of teams now. Like, you know, you're 500 or whatever. Like, this is it. Like, this is your season right here. So what's going on this week? Get me as many points as possible. And if we win, then we'll worry about next week. Because if we lose, it's over. It doesn't matter. Then you're thinking about next year.
Before we continue, just in case anyone on Twitter is trying to message us, I think the Restream Twitter comments still aren't operational. So if you do want to comment, have your comments read on the show, be part of this, feel free to join us on the YouTube stream or on Facebook. YouTube seems to be working the best. We get to see your name and the images, and everything seems to be working okay for on those sites. But yes, the Twitter comments are non-operational. But for now, some more injuries. Really, we've covered tight ends, but quarterback, running back, wide receiver. Is there any preference for anyone on the show that for starting anywhere? Anyone want to talk about a particular player?
I have
player?
A preference because I feel like anybody that's been watching, they paid their dues, and they probably want to hear about all of the top running backs that
there we go. Down.
So we didn't lead off with that, but there, I think it's time to reward them for their loyalty and hit that first. Because we got some big ones, and it's getting kind of dicey. So, speaking of moments of silence, let's have a moment of silence for another top running back who we lost for the season, kind of surprisingly. But Christian McCaffrey, for the second year in a row, is now out for the year due to another injury. This time it's his ankle, and they already ruled him out for the year, and that's it. It's like end of story. I think there's going to be a lot to talk about with him with regard to dynasty value and what do you do with him moving forward now that it's been 1 year. It's a, what do they say? 1 year, it's a fluke. 2 years, it's a pattern. And it raises some serious questions even for me. I know I was very bullish coming into this year saying, oh, well, you know, anybody can get hurt. He's never been hurt before. He's young, et cetera, et cetera. Now I have to really kind of reevaluate that and say, is this an accumulation type thing? He's got multiple lower leg injuries, even had a really bad AC joint injury that kept him out. And we're seeing these things kind of stack up, and it would give me a lot of trepidation to, you know, take him number one overall next year. So that's where I'm at with it. But the bottom line is that he's done for the year, and that's it.
Kyle, was CMC hurt in college at all?
I can take a look, but I remember him being kind of like a big workhorse, getting a lot of like yardage marks and things like that. So I
don't remember him
being inclined to say no.
I don't remember anything major at all.
I'll go take a look.
It's a good question.
So with the Panthers, I mean, Chuba Hubbard's probably going to do a lot of the running the football, carrying. Amir Abdullah has also been involved in the passing game of late, and without McCaffrey there, I think that could also be something. I'm assuming Hubbard's probably rostered in most leagues, but Abdullah might not be. That might be something if you're desperate enough for a running back, especially in PPR leagues. You know, Abdullah might be worth a look.
Yeah.
Obviously, if both are available, I think Hubbard is definitely the preference. But we're making the assumption Hubbard's not available just because, you know, McCaffrey's been dealing with injuries before. So Hubbard has gotten starts, assuming people either handcuffed him or they picked him up and hopefully still kept rostering him, waiting for this to happen.
But like we always advocate, do your due diligence, because some people actually have dropped Chuba Hubbard because they had a roster crunch or other guys got hurt and it looked like CMC was back. And some people have short benches. Some people are short on patience too, and they just cut him loose. So do your due diligence. You know, he may be out there, and if he is, you want to pick him up. If not, then Amir Abdullah is definitely worth a look, because guess what? Chuba Hubbard could get hurt too, and then you got potentially an RB1 just in time for the fantasy playoffs right there sitting on your bench waiting to go.
I looked it up, by the way, Gladys. So in college, three seasons, McCaffrey played 12 games, 14 games, and then 11 games. So I don't know about that last season, if there were injury or if he just kind of like held out, sat out for the bowl games, knowing he was going to be a top 10 pick in the NFL.
Yeah.
So it looks like he pretty fairly, like he like the thing with his freshman year, he only had 42 carries. So even though he played 12 games instead of 14, he also barely touched the ball. So it's really looking at those 2 years. He had 337 carries as a sophomore and 45 catches.
Yeah, he was a beast.
Crazy workload.
He was a monster.
Yes. So McCaffrey out for the year. Another. So the 101, 102 in a lot of drafts this year, McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook. Cook also out with this is not an ankle injury. This is a shoulder injury. Hasn't been ruled out for the year like McCaffrey, but what are the risks of that lengthy of an absence, Doc?
Yeah, so let's run the countdown. Because I know on your show in the offseason, Kyle, you like to talk about what do you think about zero RB? And I'll ask you again, what do you think of zero RB considering we're down Christian McCaffrey, we're down Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara's missed the last month or so with a knee injury, and that brings us to Saquon Barkley has been up and down all year, and that brings us to pretty much the consensus 102 in a lot of drafts, Dalvin Cook, and those pesky shoulders popped up again or popped out again as the case might be. So he dislocated his shoulder and he's already been essentially ruled out for this week. And then it's a big question mark after that. Is he going to need surgery? Is it going to be year ending? I don't know. But it's not so much the thing that they're focusing a lot about is the labrum, which is the piece of cartilage that kind of sits in between the ball and the socket of the shoulder joint. And the reason that that's important is that kind of adds stability to the shoulder. So if you tear the cartilage, they said he's been playing with torn cartilage on the other side. That's because he had a prior dislocation. They went back and the cartilage is still kind of injured. But the joint itself on the other side is stable, which means it's not going to just kind of spontaneously pop out of the socket. The issue with when you dislocate and then you tear the cartilage and you stretch out the ligaments and things like that, you know, you pop the shoulder back in, but all is not fixed. Now you have joint instability, and that's the real issue. Is now they put his shoulder back into place, but it's going to be very easy for him in most cases to dislocate it again and then have even more instability and pain and inflammation. And that's just reaching for something on a high shelf, not playing football where people are running into you and you're trying to fight people off and stiff arm them. Or, I mean, it's like, it gets to the point where, and I have experience with this because I dislocated my shoulder and tore my labrum and stretched everything out and all that good stuff, and I needed surgery. I'm not quite at the level of athlete that Dalvin Cook is, but...
Yeah, don't sell yourself short.
We saw you with a championship belt last week.
Yeah, we saw the belt.
The point is, it was getting to the point where my shoulder was so unstable. It's like if I walked into and there was a wind gust of more than 30 miles an hour, it felt like my shoulder was going to pop out. So... if that's the case and he has that much instability, then it's going to be really hard for him to play football or at the very least, like start a game and finish it without dislocating and then having the whole process happen all over again, which is a lot of words for me saying, I don't know past this week, but it looks bad. It looks bad. I mean, it looks like multiple weeks, best case and worst case, he's going to be done for the year. He has had this before. He missed 2 weeks. He came back. It was too soon. He got injured again, missed a couple more weeks, and then he was able to kind of be his normal self. So for the regular season play, for the Minnesota Vikings playoffs, he might actually be okay. For the fantasy playoffs, he's very much in the questionable zone of is he really going to be able to be effective or not. He still might be. So I'm not saying drop him outright, but it's definitely – we talk about the DEFCON scale. He's solid DEFCON 2 for me, and I would not be surprised if it turns out he does need surgery – and this is it for him. I'm hoping that's not the case, but it might be.
So you're saying he's not day-to-day?
Yeah, he's day-to-day like we're all day-to-day. But, I mean, Jesus, God. Like, he's day-to-day, and he's already out for this week. So talk about finding an RB1 on your bench, potentially. So Alexander Mattison gets another chance to shine. And I'm going to try his name. Kenny Nwangwu. How'd I do? I don't know. Their third string running back, special teamer, he looks really good. And he might get some additional play as well. Now, I know that he's in your division, Kyle. Have you seen any of his plays? Like, what do you think about him as a stash or a spec pickup?
Oh, Kyle's muted.
Oh, you're on mute.
So much to tell him.
That's because that's how little I want to talk about the Vikings.
No, well, I mean,
but okay. So it's funny because the one thing that's always kind of been said about Mattison is that whenever he's on the field, man, he looks like Cook, like same body type, same running style.
Yeah,
Nwangwu kind of has that same type of burst and speed that they both do. So it might not be Madison getting everything. Maybe a little bit like the Panthers, right? Hubbard's going to get a decent chunk of the work, but maybe they cede some of the passing work to the other explosive threat in Abdullah or Nwangu in this case. So I guess that's an interesting question. And I'll add a third part to it because Doc's shoulder injury, it seems like another running back is dealing with one. DeAndre Swift is now, I don't know if he has a history of shoulder injury with like Dalvin Cook does, but does that make it less severe, or are you thinking similar prognosis to what Cook is, where it could be a couple weeks or this could potentially end his season?
Yeah, it looks like it's not a – I don't think he has an – I think very few people have as extensive a shoulder injury history as Dalvin Cook does. But DeAndre Swift, because it happened on Thanksgiving, it almost kind of slipped through the cracks and kind of forgot about it because it was like kind of, you know, forgotten about with all the other football that happened. They're calling it a strain of the shoulder, and that could be a few things. It could be some of the muscles around the shoulder. It could be the rotator cuff. It could be the AC joint. And for right now, it's a big question mark as to how it's going to affect him. I'm definitely concerned about it. It's something that you want to watch practice reports on. And you want to, again, do your due diligence and make sure Jamal Williams isn't just hanging out there. Because if he is, you want to scoop him up as a speculative play because he could get a lot of run while DeAndre Swift is healing up if it takes a week or two. Or this turns out to be worse, and let's say it turns out to be a grade 2 AC joint injury. I mean, that's torn ligaments and disruption of the shoulder. That's big time, and there's just not a lot of details right now. So definitely still being evaluated as far as the severity, but I'm pretty concerned.
So you mentioned the names. So Jamal Williams, Alexander Madison, Chuba Hubbard. If all three are available, who's the best pickup? And then I guess also if they're not available and like available to start for you, who's the best start between the three? Or does that change? Like, is Gladys one that? Sorry?
No, Gladys. Gladys is my starting running back. No. Who do you favor out of those three?
Well, Alexander Madison. Drew Hubbard's on a bye next week, so he's out for me.
You obviously not starting him. That's fair.
To win now, and let me see who they're playing, because that's what it depends on. Because I need points. True.
We're going in depth here. How about you, B-League? What do you think,
Madison? Yeah. Listen, they've shown a penchant to lean on him and lean on him aggressively when he has had the chance. Jamal
Williams. Yeah,
Jamal Williams. Okay, so Minnesota the Lions are trash.
Wow, that's true. No, you're right. That actually might make
that interesting.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but I'd say more than anything that, you know, when he's had the chance, they've lent on him to the full extent like they would Dalvin Cook. I don't know. I can't. I like Jamal Williams. I think he's really good. But they showed, I think it wasn't the Thanksgiving week. It might have been the week before. They rotated in a couple of running backs I never even heard of, too.
I don't think Williams was active. He was hurt, right? He was out. That's why.
So it's one of those things like Carolina could get cute and they could work in Amir Abdullah. Minnesota could get cute and work in CJ Ham. I see how this works. there we go. He knows because they would. But for me, it's Alexander Madison. He's gonna get it the whole time. And I think that matchup with Detroit is just, he's going to be the chalk play this week, Alexander Madison. He's going to be.
Yeah, the matchup with Detroit is too tasty to not play him.
Now, I guess the devil's advocate against Madison is they really haven't been throwing to Dalvin Cook at all this year. So it leads me to think they weren't suddenly changed when their backups didn't suddenly throw more to him. So
if I remember correctly, though, Kyle, Madison, I'm going to double check on this. When they played Seattle, didn't he have something like something ridiculous in the receiving game? I'm fairly certain. Bear with me. I'm gonna check that.
Yeah, I feel free. To me, Madison does still seem like the better play. I agree, but that's just the one thing is because Cook's kind of been a disappointment. Like even without these injuries, he really hasn't lived up to being the 102. And I think part of it is he's got what, like 20 catches this year as opposed to his normal
like 22 catches, something like that.
So we're talking about Alexander Madison, week 3 against Seattle, was 20 attempts, 112 rushing, but he went 8-6-59 receiving. And then 2 weeks later, he went 25 carries against Detroit. So at least we have some relevance here. He played Detroit and he started that game, right? So you're at 25 and 113 on the ground, 7-7-40 with a touch receiving. So he went.
I guess they are passing more to Madison than they are to Cook. Okay, never mind.
So he went nearly.
Good call, Dan.
He went what? 7-4, 11, 16, 17 points. We're talking PPR receiving alone. That was in that one game against Detroit. Add on top the 113 rushing. But so that parallel, like, it was 25 for 113 and 26 for 112 rushing and 15 targets in two games. So he was getting that work. He was getting those looks. He was that guy. I remember that because I said, hey, don't play him.
Oh, I always remember the bad calls, right?
Oh, to be fair, so he had really disappointed up to that point.
Someone who said, you know, especially me, oh, yeah, Aaron Jones is definitely getting held out to the bye week. They're for sure held him out 2 weeks and then bring him back week 14. That turned out to be a bad call because Aaron Jones played last week on the MCL sprain. So when they initially did say 1 to 2 weeks, it seemed like at first I thought, oh, that seems low, right? Like, Doc, I know you were saying the same thing. Like, our initial reaction was, yeah, that seems low. Turns out it wasn't. Missed 1 week and he's back. So, I you know, it seemed like, I mean, he didn't get a full complement of work necessarily.
Yeah.
It seemed like A.J. Dillon was kind of more the 1A to 1B there. So are you concerned there at all, Doc? Or do you think that's just because it was the 1 week back, they were going to do that with Jones, give him the full week back and then like full week of rest at week 14, he's back to being the, like, the full complement of what we normally see from Jones? Or do you think this is something that could linger for the rest of the year in terms of the reduced workload?
I'm definitely concerned it could linger. And the reason is I'm very, I'll be honest with you, I'm very surprised they brought him back. Maybe he really pushed to get out there. But they utilized him in the first half and then he really took a backseat. I think AJ Dillon like out carried him like 20-10 or something like that. So he was the starter, but in the second half, it was really kind of the AJ Dillon show. So the thing that worries me about these type of situations is that you end up with a 50-50 type split or a 60-40 type split. And that really can hurt you productivity wise down the stretch. So at least he has the bye week to recover, but you know, week 14, if you're in the playoffs, I don't think you're going to have a choice. If he's starting, you got to run with him. But, you know, I wouldn't feel great about it. It's going to be tough. And the risk of him either re-injuring himself or you're running into the same situation where the game, let's say, gets a little bit out of hand. And instead of him being the one that is running out the clock, now it's AJ Dillon because they want to rest him for the playoffs. Like, those become real, you know, real issues to deal with. But that's the nature of playing, you know, fantasy football and being in the playoffs at this time of year, like games and, you know, teams planning ahead and things like that, you know, come into play and can affect how things work out.
Yeah. I think it's more, you know, if instead of considering him like a top 10 back, you might consider him top 20. Like, again, it might be avoiding DFS, but I don't think in your season long leagues, you can afford to bench him, especially with other elite running back options hurt, as we've mentioned throughout the episode. Sure. Not elite running back, but one more running back to talk about. We can be really quick here because he really hasn't carried the ball much, so we really shouldn't spend that much time on it. Like, you know, maybe a second per 1 second per carry that he's gotten so far in the NFL this year. So really quick, Doc, Trey Sermon, ankle injury is, I mean, I don't even know if people are rostering anymore, but I don't know how much consequence you want to go into, but yeah.
Yeah.
Trey Sermon.
All right, I'll time me. So injured, ankle, ruled out for the game, likely going to go on IR. Don't really see him being relevant at all. If you're holding on to hope, you could probably drop him at this point. And we'll see in, you know, we'll reevaluate in 2022. How'd I do?
That was great. I don't think any of us need to add anything about Trey Sermon, right? So move on to quarterbacks, because there's a quarterback who's dealing with the same injury as Trey Sermon, the ankle injury. And this is a quarterback who runs a lot, has had definitely more carries this year than Trey Sermon has. Jalen Hurts. So, yeah. Doc, what do we know about the Eagles quarterback?
Aww.
So, yeah.
the Philly fraudulent quarterback.
It just kind of popped up that he has an ankle injury. So, unfortunately, with this, we don't have too much detail as to the nature of it. It's definitely something to watch because this is the exact same script that they ran with Kyler Murray, and he's been out a month, where it was like, yeah, I'm not really too concerned about it. Here we are a month later. We haven't seen Kyler Murray on the field since then. Not saying that's what's going to happen. But especially for a running quarterback and somebody who's been as good as Jalen Hurts has been, it's definitely concerning and bears monitoring. Not good timing for players that have been relying on him to get them to this point.
Maybe they can get Nate Sudfeld back.
Oh, man. Brutal.
Maybe they can call Nate Sudfeld. He can play in the fourth quarter for them. Oh, poor Philly. Let's go get Nate Sudfeld back.
No sympathy from the Giants.
Well, I don't know, dude. That's Doug. Hey, Doug, Nate Sudfeld's Doug Peterson's guy. Doug Peterson's the one who pushed to get him in, right?
So. I just wanted to see if Nate Sudfeld could play. They thought he could carry the team. Oh.
Isn't that why they traded for Gardner Minshew, though, so he could come in?
They just thought he could be. They wanted to see if he could be the starting quarterback, their four stringer. Oh,
is Gardner Minshew the backup?
But
yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would assume it's Gardner in all seriousness. Yeah, I don't think it's Nate Sudfeld.
It is Gardner Minshew.
Maybe we should go see if Nate Sudfeld can fill in for a quarter.
This isn't a bit, folks. This is Dan's pure true emotions here. He is very upset and sad with Jalen Hurts' injury.
Oh.
Would you pick up Minshew or no?
Yep. What's he going to do, throw it accurately? Like to his open receivers? Is that the worst thing that's going to happen for a Philly receiver and quarterback?
He's a running quarterback too, right?
He can throw it to Rieger and Rieger can drop the ball. The passes. Accurately. To answer your question, Glass, would be like super flex for sure.
He's more mobile than he's given credit for too. Yes, he is.
Okay.
Yeah. He is.
Like, if you're stuck like having to start, no offense, Glass, but if you're stuck having to start like Ben Roethlisberger or Matt Ryan, like at that point you might go pick up a Minshew if he has to make a spot start. I think you might want to go with that upside instead. So
yeah.
Okay.
We can have another moment of silence because I mentioned Ben Roethlisberger if you want. well, one quarterback that I think like has suffered some pretty bad injuries in his career, and we're all kind of maybe hoping he's okay. We all like really view him as a human being on our list here. It's Aaron Rodgers. I'm just Teddy Bridgewater. Well, mostly because the Rodgers thing. I mean, he's got the toe injury, but he's playing through it. He's throwing tons of touchdowns. Like it seems like it almost seems like he's played better since he got the toe injury. No fantasy consequences there. Play if he says he's no longer injured, then you can stop playing him because apparently he won't play as well. But no, Teddy Bridgewater though, leg injury. He left the game, and Drew Lock actually came in. So that might be one where, you know, Drew Lock or Gardner Minshew, if you have to pick up one next
week. Didn't Bridgewater came back in, though?
He did, oh, yeah.
He came back in again.
He was kind of in and out of the game, but he did make it back in. They're calling it a shin injury, just really briefly on that. The coach said he wasn't concerned about it. I say watch practice reports and let that tell the story for us. Drew Lock is, you know, he's not a bad quarterback. And he could flash with opportunity, especially given that he has both Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy there, not to mention Tim Patrick and both tight ends, Noah Fant and the other guy whose name I can't
remember. Alberto.
Yes, Alberto. Thank you. And Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams may start to get some more play. So Drew Lock is really interesting if Teddy Bridgewater misses. I my sense at this point is that he won't, but stranger things have happened. So, you know, just something to continue to monitor, but I'm not much less concerned about him than I am about, I'm about at the same level, a little more concerned for him than I am with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, I have no concern. Teddy Bridgewater, I have mild concern. And then everybody else is worse than that.
So you have more concern for Bridgewater than, or sorry, for Jalen Hurts than Bridgewater then, especially with the Eagles bye week coming after this week. Like there is concern that they could legit decide to hold him out for week 13.
Yeah, I'm more concerned about, that is an accurate statement. I'm more concerned about Jalen Hurts than I am about Teddy Bridgewater.
So everyone go pick up. So I think everyone's agreed it's Minshew over Drew Lock. If you'd have to pick up someone for a spot start, just on the likelihood of Minshew getting that start.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's close for me. I would give either one a shot, whoever's out there. If either one of them was starting, I would feel okay with it. I probably would feel better about Minshew than I do about Drew Lock, but he could surprise you.
So some wide receivers to talk with. I guess surprising news with A.J. Brown this week got put on injured reserve. So he's out for the next 3 weeks. It's like in theory he could be eligible to return for the fantasy playoffs, but what do we know about A.J. Brown, Doc?
Yeah, definitely hit on that. Let me, because I want to get to the Monday night preview before it starts. So before the game starts, so let me just rapid fire anybody that we missed. Zach Wilson, PCL injury. He played week 12. He tweaked it. Joe Flacco's off the COVID list for what it's worth. I don't know what they're going to do with this. It seemed like he was back a little fast from the PCL injury. Maybe they rushed him. He hasn't looked great. I don't know if you really want to invest heavily in the Jets quarterbacks, although Joe Flacco and Mike White have looked way better than Zach Wilson has. So it's something. Justin Fields practiced today, still dealing with the rib injury. He missed Thanksgiving. We'll just have to wait and see with that. And then that's that. Running back wise, we hit on all those. Yeah. Okay. And that brings us, sorry, that wasn't so bad. And that brings us to AJ Brown. So there's a teaching point here. We talked about this multiple times a year, but we're going to talk about it again. So he injured his chest or his ribs. He got x-rays. The x-rays were negative, but he ends up on IR anyway on Saturday, the day before the game. And now he's out for 3 weeks. So the earliest he can be back is week 16. Still worth holding on to, but that's a tough one. That's a tough one to take if you're an AJ Brown, you know, if he's on your roster. I mean, that's a punch to the gut right there. I mean,
yes, it was.
Jeez.
Is there any update on Julio yet? Like, is Julio going to probably come back before AJ Brown? Or is that something where you're looking elsewhere for the Titans receivers?
Well, it's a really good question. I mean, I think Julio Jones could be, the earliest he can come back is week 14. It seems like he's had a decent amount of time off. He's been dealing with this off and on. And that was really underplayed coming into this year. You know, we talked about him many times on the Dynasty Gambit, I remember. And it was just like, what do you do with this? And do you fade this or do you not? And, you know, I was optimistic, but I was cautious. But the thing is that he's still 32. He might even be 33 now. And he's been dealing with hamstring injuries for the better part of 2 years now. And, I mean, he's an amazing talent. He's probably a Hall of Famer. I mean, almost assuredly he's a Hall of Famer. But if he does come back, how much can you really trust that he's going to be able to do anything and make it through the game? Yes, Dan, breaking news.
So they got the bye this week, right?
Yeah.
From there they go Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, minute of silence. San Fran, Miami. So when they get that, week 18 is Houston, whatever, but we're talking about a team that still holds a two or three game lead over the Colts, right? Because the Colts got done yesterday. So even with a bye week, and I've said before that the Colts schedule running in is really nice. It's quite user-friendly. Mm-hmm. I don't see a way with that schedule, with the team that they have, they'll still beat Jacksonville week 14 with or without Julio. I think they're just terrible. I think Jacksonville are just garbage. So they're just one or two games away from being playoff-bound anyhow.
Yeah.
Depending on how the Colts go, I could see them not rushing anyone back, including Derrick Henry, who
agreed
could be back sooner than later. They really set themselves up nicely despite the injuries that have happened to their big three, which is incredible to see them still like compete with the Patriots, who are a bit of a hot spot at the moment.
Yeah, agreed.
They were still competitive, you know. They were still in that.
So I guess maybe there it's maybe fade Tannehill a little bit, considering the lack of weapons. He probably won't have anything back maybe week 16, but yeah, kind of hold and see. What, you know, we'll have to see. Obviously, not playing him this week, but yeah, Doc.
We saw Geno Smith light up the Jags, and I know he has incredible receivers. I understand that, but Geno Smith lit up the Jags. So Ryan Tannehill with a bunch of guys that no one's ever heard of could probably do it. Guessing. No disrespect to Geno Smith. Actually, a little bit.
All right. Good old Geno Smith. Former Giant, right? He was on the Giants at one point, right?
Oh, yeah.
Former Giants champion. Giants, Jets.
There you go.
Everywhere he goes, like, rookie quarterbacks follow. That's
doesn't David Carr have a Super Bowl ring with the Giants?
Yeah, he does.
So does Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner as well?
Anyone could have done that.
All right.
Next game. I guess two big injuries here. Two wide receivers with groin injuries: Deebo Samuel and Randall Cobb. So, Doc, I saw a tweet about the 49ers with some information about this.
Yeah, we'll get through these quick. So I'll start with Randall Cobb because we don't really know much of anything. So just watch your practice reports on that. They're on a bye week anyway, so it doesn't really matter for this week. Deebo Samuel is the one that's more scary. They initially gave a groin injury. Didn't look good when he was coming off the field, but they gave a 1 to 2 week estimate. The only thing to keep in mind is that groin injuries encompass a lot of things, mild strains up to injuries that can require surgery, not unlike what happened with Rashad Bateman. It cost him 6 weeks, or Curtis Samuel, who's essentially been dealing with it all year and has been hampered by it all year. So no guarantee that Deebo Samuel is only going to miss a week or two, which sucks because he's been amazing. But it's just one of those things where we got to cross our fingers and hope for the best and hope that it doesn't turn into a Rashad Bateman or Curtis Samuel type situation. And I'll just bang through the rest of these, and I want to get to the Monday night game. We talked about that. Antonio Brown still on a milk carton. Don't know what's going to happen with him. The Giants wide receivers, Galladay's back. Slayton is still technically there. They seem to be the
healthier. Oh, my God. Go get Kenny Galladay. Go get him.
I don't want to get Dan started on a rant, so we're just going to pretend I never said that. And we did have a Rob Gronkowski sighting, which is kind of amazing. We were talking about whether or not we should drop him back in, like, week three. But it looks like he's back. He looked good. It looks like as long as he's starting, you got to run him out there and just hope for the best. But this is the time where he could really make a difference for you going into down the stretch and into the fantasy playoffs. And that is that.
All right. So Monday night game, we've got Seattle at Washington. The over-under is set at 46.5. The Seahawks are 1-point favorites on the road. So Washington 1-point road underdogs here.
Nice.
Now, Dan, as part of the polls you made, has it gone up to 47? It's got up half a.
Yeah.
Okay, are the Seahawks still 1-point favorites?
That's all the same. We're good in that.
Okay, so they just boosted both up by half, or both by 0.25. Anyway, so Dan, on the polls you gave, one was for like the prop lines on the over-unders and the the teams. So you could pick take the 47-point over or under. Also, Washington has 1-point underdogs, or Seattle is 1-point favorites. Now, the poll results. A lot of people pick either the teams, 35% for Washington, 26% for Seattle. And then I guess more people picked under than they did over. So the over was the decision that was the least popular. But I think I voted for that one, actually.
Quite the contrast, considering we did a little digging today on this one. So it was Seattle is 1-8-1 under this year, 0-4-1 as the away team. Washington is 5-5, but 2-3 under this year. So both teams go under more often than not. Seattle is 5-5 covering the spread. 3-2 is an away team. Washington is 3-7 covering, 1-4 at home. So this one, the way that it's been looking, it looks more than anything that Washington plus 1 and under 47 is likely. So Seattle minus 1, probably not. What the frick?
All right, well, everybody was talking about how the game sucks, so I figured I had to spruce it up a little bit. Well, what can make it more exciting than just a bunch of balloons, right? So here you go. Here's my attempt to add a little color to the Monday Night Football discussion.
It looks like Darren Waller's IT band. A little medical joke in there. Look at that. All the bubbles.
But hey, that's perfect. You could add like balloons of the human body, and you could like, and this is what happens when you pop your ACL. Pop.
Oh no!
Excitement
pop,
and
pop
noises.
Like Pittsburgh season. Oh,
wow! Wow!
Oh, ouch!
My team's got 4 weeks. My team won this week. I've got it in me.
Wow!
Dan's on the cocky street where he's just ripping on everybody.
I get one week. I get 1 week. I might not get one for another 7. So, where am I? I'm sorry.
Well, Gladys, I'll allow you to retort if you'd like. You could also talk about the Seattle Washington game. If what side Seattle you prefer, if you like the over under.
Rise above that, Dan.
You shouldn't.
There you go, Gladys. Turn the other black and gold cheek.
Yeah, exactly. So Seattle Washington over under 46.5. What Izzy said, Washington in the over?
He said Washington in the over, yeah.
That's what he's saying.
You guys, crazy.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy. I would go Washington in the under, maybe. It's in Washington, right? It's not in Seattle.
Yeah,
it's in Washington, yes.
And Seattle notoriously doesn't play better away. I'm going to go Washington in the under. Nope, I'm going with Izzy. Washington in the over.
Doc, any chime in or do we move on?
No, I never go against Izzy. Izzy says Washington in the over, and especially he's always talking about the under. So if he's saying over, then I'm completely fine. pushing right, on Washington and the over.
If he's right, he's going to march into my office tomorrow. Joe Villapel just bobbing his head. Hey, guess what?
Yeah, I think money on you, Izzy.
You see, I think I'm going to go the opposite. I think I'm going to take Seattle in the over. I think this is the bounce back game for Russell Wilson. I think just maybe the fact that it's on Monday gave him one extra day to get healthier. And this Washington defense has been atrocious. Same with the Seahawks, to be fair. But I think if Russ can get healthy with those receivers, I think they can exploit it better. So I'll take Seattle.
I'm sorry, but isn't – wait, what week are we in?
12.
Wow, right? Thing.
Yeah. Is this defense – didn't they – Hold on. Didn't they hold Tampa Bay to 19 points? Then Tom Brady? Yeah, this atrocious Washington defense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about it, though.
In Tampa. No, was it in Tampa?
I don't know.
No, it was in Washington.
I take that back. It might not.
I think it was in Washington, but
it was in Washington. Yeah. Fair. And yeah, I think you should take that back.
I think that's maybe one good performance they've had in 11 weeks, 10 weeks. The defense has mostly been pretty atrocious, though. Okay.
They gave Green Bay a run for their money. They were in that game.
They couldn't really stop Rodgers, though. I mean, like, the Packers kind of easily put up 30.
Yeah, according to you, who can, really?
Are you feeling more confident or less confident with your pick?
Not even COVID can stop that guy. Come on.
Yeah, even COVID can't stop Rodgers. So
he's also from playing that one game. anyway, so well, talking about quarterbacks, maybe it's time to talk about the quarterback props. So the yardage set at for Heineke, the over-under is 268 combined.
That's combined, right?
That's right. Yes, yeah. Combined. Rushing and passing. Wilson's passing is 248.5. And his combined, so they give him about 19 yards rushing, it looks like. His combined is 267.5. So, Dan, in the poll, you also had a Heineke with 32.5 pass attempts, the over-under there. So you're the poll that you put out, you had Heineke over on those pass attempts, Heineke over on his yards, and then Wilson either over on his passing yards or under on his combined yards. It's interesting how that ended up happening. I think Heineke ended up winning with the combined yards. I believe that's what I voted for too. So 40% said Heineke can get that combined 268.5 over. And I think I like that just because it's the combined, right? You can do it rushing, you can do it passing. I always like those going over on the ones where you can do it in multiple ways.
Heineke is 6 games this year with over 268 combined yards for the year. So 6 games this year is combined in that regard.
So basically right down the middle, right? I guess they've played 11 games, right? So, or they've played 10 games, I guess. So 6-4. So it's actually positive there. So makes me feel more confident about that one. I'm just hearing that. So does anyone have is Heineke combined the favorite for everybody or?
I went under on the combined yards. Everything that Russell Wilson hasn't done this year kind of bothers me. His passing yards have been
pedestrian at best.
A problem, yeah. So he has two games this year over 265.5 combined yards. Right, and he got to via passing anyways, and again, you know, he hasn't done that since week 3, so he's topped over 20 rushing yards twice this year, and that's also a problem. So if the combined yards is based on 19 and he's trying to get to that area, he's only got to that 19-20 mark twice this year. He's not rushing. It's not happening. So he has to really go over on those passing yards, which against Washington can absolutely happen, because as Gladys pointed out, they ain't great, you know. So I have a problem with him getting there. I think this one's going to be tighter than we think, because Seattle isn't that good and neither are Washington. So I think this is going to be a bit of a mess. Not Cleveland-Baltimore mess, but, you know maybe Detroit and Chicago. Maybe that bad. Maybe that's sort of a mess.
From an injury perspective, to me, this is a big game for Russell Wilson, because he definitely came back on the short side of that time frame for that finger injury where he had the tendon rupture and the fracture, and they put the pin in there and everything. And he has not looked good, to say the least, coming back for the last 2 weeks. And if he continues to kind of show the same thing where he's getting, you know, getting you single digits, then I really got to question whether or not he's still hampered by, you know, this finger injury. And there's some mechanical thing that's happening where, you know, because it hasn't healed or there's a bend in the finger, some sort of throwing motion mechanical thing is altered and the ball's not coming out the way that he wants. And, you know, it could be something that lingers for the rest of the year. So that's what I'm really curious about. I'm not really it could go either way. But, I mean, I could see him really kind of exceeding all expectations, or I could see him doing more of the same of what he's done since he came back from the injury. But he's barely cracked double digits once, considering the time that he's been out since week 5, which is the week he got injured. Prior to that, he was doing Russell Wilson things. But we haven't seen that guy in 2 months. So is he coming back? Is that coming back this year? I don't know. This is really the test. First game, you could chalk it up to rust. Second game, it's a division game. Those games are always tough. But now, against Washington and this defense, you know, what they did against Tom Brady notwithstanding, you got to show me something. Otherwise, I gotta think about maybe sitting you down for the rest of the year.
Gladys?
Yes.
So do you prefer Wilson? I mean, their combined yards are actually really close for Heineke at 268.5. Wilson combined 267.5. So that's passing and rushing combined. Do you have a preference between those two? It being only separated by 1 yard?
I don't like the over on either of them. And I don't like picking the under, but if I had to, I would pick the over on Heineke, not on Wilson. I don't think Wilson's going to get that. He would have to get it, like Dan said, he would have to get it in the passing game, most of it, like 3/4 of it, if not more. And I don't see that happening. I can see Heineke, although he hasn't completed a pass yet, I could see Heineke.
I mean, I guess the game has started. We're about 2 minutes in. I don't know.
So I could see him getting more with his legs.
Yeah.
So I would go with Heineke, but I don't know that I'd go the over on either of those. I do like his attempts, his passing attempts.
Okay.
But
okay, so would that be the one you'd pick then, over 32.5 pass attempts? Right. I was just about to comment. I'm surprised no one picked it, to be honest. But yeah, I guess Gladys.
When the poll came out, that's the one that I picked, actually.
Okay.
All right. Over 32.5. Not that that's a reason for anybody to go with that as their choice, but I just wanted to state that for the record.
Yeah, it seems like 71% of people picked either Heineke or Wilson over Wilson, just specifically on those passing yards over. But yeah, so people like those two, it seemed a lot. I guess we'll just quickly do the receiving props. So, well, first we've got Antonio Gibson combined rushing and receiving yards at 78.5. And then McLaurin, Metcalf, Lockett are all basically identical. 66.5 for McLaurin and Metcalf and Lockett, both 65.5 receiving yards. In terms of the poll, McLaurin actually ended up getting almost the majority of the votes, 49% for the over on McLaurin on 66.5 passing yards. I believe I voted for that. Although between like really any of those three receivers might be my three favorite props of all these. Like all three of those receivers, I think could easily get those 60 over, but certainly McLaurin and Metcalf, I think 65.5 seems definitely attainable. Gladys, any preference there between those four players?
Well, before the first set for Washington, I would have gone with Gibson, but I don't think they're running the ball. I think they're passing the ball. But McLaurin, he only had he's had 2 games in the last 4 games that he's gone over, and he went over big. But yeah,
I know Dan was itching to say that stat, right? It's either it's all or nothing. He's either 62 yards, right? You said
62. So the line for McLaurin is drawn at 62 yards. He has 62 yards or less in 6 games. The other 4, he's gone over 100.
Yeah,
so his team at 66.5 is, 66 is, 62 is still pretty good, but.
Yeah, but it's not 66.5.
It's not,
That is true.
That's the most factual statement on tonight's show.
But, it's not that Philly are frauds? That's not the most factual, Dan?
No, they are. They know it too. That's the second most factual statement. just the people that live there. 66.5, but you could say the same you could say the same for Lockett. Lockett was the same. So, you know, I think you guys know for me, I'm not the biggest. I might be one of the few people that isn't a Tyler Lockett fan for fantasy. I'm just not. I just, the inconsistencies for him are just too much for me to handle. It's just not my deal. He's had two games in the last three over 100 receiving yards. And like McLaurin, he either goes for 100 yards or sub 60. So that's Lockett in a nutshell. He's going off, or he's, you know, getting you 30 yards off.
Oh, you know, okay. But, you better get down on that Russell Wilson, because that pass was just nasty. It was ugly. Yeah. Way over.
Mm. Yeah. Way over who?
I'm telling you, you gotta watch that.
Freddie Swain. it's not a point per target league, so it won't help.
Wilson. It was Weber Wilson.
Yeah.
Not looking good. Not looking good. Early returns, not so good.
This game's going to be so much worse than last night's game.
It's going to be so bad.
So much worse.
All right, so I guess there's no curling on tonight.
Focus on the balloons.
So I think I already called it. Of all the props we talked about tonight, McLaurin going over at 66.5, I think, is my favorite. Because if you could just tell me, okay, he's either going to go 62 or he's going to go 100. Against the Seahawks defense, I'd probably say he's going to go 100. I know that they've gotten some healthy guys back, but yeah, so that'd be the one prop out of everything, regardless of position, all the quarterback ones, even the full game ones. I think that's the one I'd pick. But I don't know if anyone else wants to share their favorites. Dan clearly wants to share something.
I actually voted for Gibson.
On the under yards.
Yeah. Okay. I'm a little bit worried about that. So that one, I kind of feel like.
I'm worried about my Washington. I'm not Washington, but I'm worried about the over, because I'm thinking no one's going to score in this game.
Yeah.
Like 3-0.
So it sounds, Gladys, it sounds like the most confident thing you were in was Washington as a 1-point underdogs then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm with Washington, but I'm not with the over anymore. Sorry, Izzy.
It's okay, Izzy. Hopefully,
we can. He's already there, but I'm still with you, my dude.
I'm rolling with you, ride or die with Izzy.
Well, like I said, my money's already on the Washington and the over. I'm just like regretting it.
You're just not feeling good about it.
I'm just not feeling really good about it at all. Sorry, Izzy. Still love you though.
Doc, you wanted to say something before we head out. And before we get to that, were there any other topics, Dan, Gladys, that you either you wanted to bring up? Anything fantasy related that you felt? Any fantasy topics you wanted to bring up? Anything you wanted to say?
Should we have another moment of silence for the Steelers?
We should have a moment of silence for the Steelers, like for the rest of the season. And break. And then, Dan, is this like a holiday for you guys?
It is Hanukkah, yes.
Yeah, happy Hanukkah.
Thank you.
Okay. Happy Hanukkah.
Oh, yeah, no, thanks.
That's all I got, because...
Could think of being anywhere else.
Played Cam Newton and lost. Yeah. So
it's gonna be.
That was my life this week.
I'd like to say something.
Go ahead.
I don't want to follow that.
Why not play Cam Newton and lose?
I had him and won. That was a good win, but the guy did start Sterling Shepard, so, you know, that's the league I'm in. 16-team IDP, the guy started Sterling Shepard, no worries. Oh, boy.
Maybe he thought it was Sterling Sharp, because that would have made more sense.
Well, I can imagine, to a degree. I just think for those teams that are in, you've got to make that push. You've got to make those waiver moves now, like cut the dead weight. I don't think I could stress that enough. Like, maybe not so much with Dynasty because you're still holding on to a few people. I understand. I empathize with that. But if you're in those redraft leagues, like, there are guys that are on your bench that you haven't played all year. Kill them off now. Like, go get some of those upside guys. They don't have to be backup running backs or whatever it is. Go get some guys on teams that are scoring points, big points week after week. For me, like, a league winner for me was, prior to hearing the news earlier, was like a guy like Cedric Wilson. Because those guys in Dallas, like, it's unpredictable what's going on with them right now. Like, Gallup could have we know what injuries are like for re-injury. We know what that's about. COVID's not a joke. Concussion's not a joke. Like, a guy like Cedric Wilson's a guy that could come out of nowhere and get your league going. You can look at guys that have been dropped. I've said it before. Like, it is a Giants homer thing, but They sack the OC. Golladay gets 7 targets, 50 yards on his first crack. Like, it's a little step in the right direction for that. Like, you got to find these guys that are sitting there on your waivers that have either been discarded or not being looked at that you think can do a better job than the guys that aren't moving on your bench. Now's the time to make that move.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah, just attack onto that. Now is also the time where teams that are like, you know, have 3 wins or 2 wins, like they've given up. So your competition for these guys is a lot lower. Like in redraft leagues, there are guys that are already, I don't know, they moved on to something else. They're not paying attention anymore. So you could have like the 6th waiver pick, or you could put a fab bid in and have half the competition that you would have in week 3 or 4. So, you know, fortune favors the bold. Make those moves. You know, don't take it for granted that you're not going to get somebody.
And maybe, you know, other managers have already spent their fab. So, like, they also take that into account too, right? So, yeah. Like, just less competition for on the waiver wires in general for that.
Yeah, people have impulse control, such as myself, like, spending fab money. I got $1 left, and it's like, I don't know whether I'm going to spend that dollar or if I'm just going to hang out with it and just talk to it for the next few weeks. But I got $1 left. So, yeah, there's managers like me who maybe want to make a move, but a lower bid might get you the guy because you just have more money than everybody else.
If I knew I was playing like Jalen Hurts this week, I'd go and grab Gardner Minshew. Like, that's the sort of thing you've got to do to kind of get your team that's on the precipice into the next sort of step. Like, if there's a few good quarterbacks on buys in the next week, that's the sort of thing you've got to be doing to take yourself – to take those guys out to get you in. Like, you have to – I hate the term strategy. I hate the term strategy, but you have to use some intellect with it.
That seems like such a strange word.
I have been in enough arguments with tanking or with rebuilding teams and the term strategy being thrown around. And as a commissioner, that one word is like a trigger for me.
Oh, I get it. Okay. Yeah.
So that's just one of those things. But like, use your intellect with what you can. Like, if you know that there's guys that have, like, Dalvin Cook, go get those guys who have those backups. Take them out of the equation. You got to use your bench. Like, now's the time to do it to help you win games. And you can do it by getting rid of the guys that you aren't touching or using off your roster. Like, clean house. Now's the time to do it. If you're close, do it.
Totally agree. Fortune favors the bold.
That's it.
So what if we used, you presented it as the listeners, you should use more strategery. If we didn't use the actual word strategy and present it like that, is that fine, Dan?
I got to be like that.
Okay, we'll just go with game theory. So the game theory aspects say, like, as long as you're making...
The time has come to make some moves, and you've got to be smart about what you're doing, I think. And you know, we spoke about it before. Like, I've had a guy like Curtis Samuel sitting there. He's been added this week. Something which is not in my wildest dreams that I think would happen this year. And if he pulls up a dud, like, why am I holding on to him on an active roster any longer? I'm better off going to go find someone else. There's no need. Well, he's not hurting me on my AR, right? But now he's on my bench.
But it's, what am I doing? Taking him a bench spot, yeah.
That's it.
Like, no, for sure. I think...
You look at that.
The idea is not to be afraid to drop certain players because they have a certain name, cachet, or whatever it is. Because as long as the player you're picking up makes your team better, for even if it's just for 1 week, if that, like, again, like Dan said, if you're surviving week to week and you need to everything you can to make the playoffs, like, that's all that matters. So, like, not to be worried about who you're dropping, as long as you're making your team better.
You can look at a guy like Robbie Anderson; he's getting those targets back, right? As ugly as it is, he's getting those targets back. That's another, like, it doesn't have, he's a guy that's been dropped, but he's getting them targets back with Cam Newton. It's a thing. Like, you don't have to like it, but it's happening. These are the sorts of moves that, like, that could get you over the hump whether you want it to or not. It's just
to quote the immortal Rodney Dangerfield from Back to School, which is probably another movie that Dan hasn't seen. Do not go gentle into that good night.
I've seen Caddyshack.
Well, that's a good one, too. But Back to School. Did
you get the Island of Dr. Moreau reference, Dan?
No.
Jesus.
Better book than movie, though, I thought we established, to be fair.
I'm not a movie person.
You don't say.
No. it is based off a novel, though.
And read the book.
I'm not touching that one.
Well, to be fair, I only know about it because they made reference to the novel in the show Orphan Black. So, like, that's literally the only reason I've heard of it.
I only know about it because they made reference to it on South Park. So this shows you my literary chops.
There you go.
And I have nothing to say to you guys.
There you go.
We converted this into a pop culture reference show, but this is the 2-point conversion on the Going for Two Live Network. Appreciate everyone for joining us.
Speaking of literature, if you will indulge me.
I was about to lead to that.
Thank you. Being misled by injury reports, don't let them cost you any more games. Even if you're just doing DFS at this point, this book can be helpful for you. Injuries suck, but your fantasy team doesn't have to. And go check it out. It's on Amazon. There's a link on my Twitter page at TFSDoc. 4.9 aggregate review score on Amazon. There's the e-version. There's the print version. Dynasty players, even redraft coming down the stretch, DFS. This book will help you avoid the morass of confusing information that you find with most injury reports. Make better moves. Start winning more games. Now's the time. Go check it out. You'll love it. I guarantee it. And that's it. Thanks so much. Thanks for the support as always, guys.
Bye, guys. I'm gonna go eat.
Another moment of silence. Yes. We'll send you out on that.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone, for watching the 2-point conversion on the Going for Two Live Network. On behalf of Dan, Gladys, and her Steelers, Fantasy Sports Doc James Ferretti, I'm Kyle Senra, and again, this was the 2-point conversion. Good night, everyone. Enjoy.
Good night.
Good night.